Pro Savings Days are back at Lowe's. MyLowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
There's a reason Chevy trucks are known for their dependability, because they show up no matter the weather, push forward no matter the terrain, and deliver. That's why Chevrolet has earned more dependability awards for trucks than any other brand in 2025, according to J.D. Power. Because in every Chevy truck, like every Chevy driver, dependability comes standard. Visit Chevy.com to learn more. Chevrolet received the highest total number of awards among all the trucks in the J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Vehicle Dependability Study. Awards based on 2022 models. Newer models may be shown. Visit jdpower.com/awards for more details. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
Popsicles, sprinklers, a cool breeze. Talk about refreshing. You know what else is refreshing this summer? A brand new phone with Verizon. Yep, get a new phone on any plan with Select Phone Trade-In and My Plan. And lock down a low price for 3 years on any plan with My Plan. This is a deal for everyone, whether you're a new or existing customer. Swing by Verizon today for our best phone deals. 3 year price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate only. Additional terms and conditions apply for all offers.
Doug. Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Hi, this is Tony Ruggiero here. Thanks for joining in on the Tour Coach Podcast as you follow along and join me on my journey from around the golf. This week is part two of a roundtable kind of town hall discussion we had with recreational golfers down at TPC Prestancia in Sarasota, Florida. Got two great guests sitting in with me. One of my young and future pro stars, Stephen Stallings Jr., along with Connor Luke, a really, really good up-and-coming young teacher that I'm super excited about having involved with us. We take questions and we give answers to recreational golfers all wanting to get better. You can always find this on our YouTube page at Dew Sweeper TV or wherever it is you get your podcast. You can follow and watch along. And get ready. Next week, we've got a big Masters week. You're going to have Tour Coach and Dew Sweeper content all week to help your game and enjoy the greatest event in golf.
So what are your thoughts on helping these people trim strokes off their game? And helping them eliminate, because I really do believe most of y'all probably play 10, 12, 13 pretty good holes. And then there's several holes that things get away from you. How do you help them? How do you help folks here avoid them?
So one of the most fun things that we did.
Just kidding.
One of the most fun things that I did this season was there was a group of ladies, I think five or six of us. And we'd go on the golf course Tuesday nights, and it was, I think, 11 stadium. We had, everyone would hit their tee shot, and everyone's shot was on a downhill lie with the creek in front of us, and like nobody was getting it over. And so we replayed the hole basically, and we figured out a way that everyone could play it where they could get their second shot over the hole or over the water and have a really good third shot into the green. And then we did the same thing on the par five, and like I think two or three of the girls like played their best round ever the next week just off those two holes, going from maybe double bogeys to pars. And so Tony's dead on. Like, I've learned a ton this year about taking people on the golf course and just changing the way they maybe view a few of the holes. But like, we all play the same course every day. There's two courses here. There's not 15 courses. So there's going to be shots that give us a hard time. I struggle like crazy on 11 players. That from the back tees into that green, I hate that shot. So I went out there the other night, took eight balls, dropped it down, and figured out which club I need to hit so I could hit it in the back bunker and never worry about it. And like, and that was the golf lesson I gave myself that day. So, if you think about it, I think going on the course is a great thing to do. And you can do that yourself. You don't even need me. You know?
They need you.
You do.
Trying to help your business.
You're great. I'm tired of listening to him.
If a guy figures that he's just nervous about this shot because he's missed it so many times. It's on the same hole. 11 is a
You part asking three. For a friend?
Like, or is that's, part three, that's a part three.
On players? Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So if you get on the tee and you're nervous because you've hit the ball in the water the last six times you've played the hole, how are you supposed to overcome that mentally?
It's a good question. I wish I had brought my golf psychologist here. With me. I'm going to pretend I'm Greg Carden right now, but I'm going to let Stephen answer this too, because I mean, I think they deal with it under pressure. But first of all, you have to understand that that's normal. I think the one thing that people, that messes them up, is that they think because they're nervous or because they're scared, for lack of a better word, that is wrong or they're not supposed to be that way. But I've been around Stephen and I've been around the best players in the world. And I can tell you in a few weeks when you're watching them at Augusta, I've been there, I've had a guy in the last group on Sunday, I can tell you when they stand on 12, they're all nervous. And any of them that tells you they're not is lying, right? But they understand that that part of it is understanding that it's okay. And that it's okay to be nervous. That means you care. The other way you deal with it is you have a routine that you go through that takes you into your process of hitting the shot, and you rely on that routine. And once you start the routine, it takes you through it. And I think the best players in the world have a really good routine. There was, it was several years ago, somebody did it, and they filmed Tiger at Augusta. And every shot he hit for, I think it was the year he won, the last one he won, every shot he hit, and I may be wrong on this and somebody on the internet will call me out, but like was within half a second of from the time he started his routine to the time he hit a ball for 4 days. Every shot. It's insane. I mean, you're lucky if for 4 days you got me within an hour of every shot, right? How do you handle adversity? And I mean, have you ever been, I mean, you have to have been nervous over shots.
Yeah, I mean.
You're not just a good looking kid.
You know, like when you're nervous, you got to accept that you're nervous. And like, sometimes you just have to, you know, you just have to hit a good shot. So it's like, you can maybe strategize and like, let's play away from that miss. But at the end of the day, it's like, you got to go hit that shot. And like, then also, you know, it's a game. Like, if you hit it in the water, who cares? Your buddies might make fun of you, but, like, they might hit in the water, too. So, like, I mean, when I was in high school, my high school coach used to be, like, when we would hit bad shots, just, like, some of the guys had anger problems or something like that. They kept hitting, like, he'd be, like, say the worst thing that could have happened. Like, so guys would be, like, well, at least I didn't die after the shot. So, I mean, you just kind of, yeah, you're going to be nervous. You got to accept that you're going to be nervous. But it doesn't mean you can't put a good swing on it. And if you don't, you don't. Like, I mean, you kind of have to be, you have to realize that it's okay to hit a bad shot because it's expected. And if you do, you just figure out from the next shot. Like, I mean, just like anything life throws at you, like, you just got to keep going and move on. So it's like, if you accept that, just go try to hit the best shot. If you don't, move on. Like, I don't really know how to say it, but you just sometimes got to.
And I think, too, that one thing I've learned is that, like, I guarantee you all of you have hit a shot before you were uncomfortable or you were nervous or whatever, and you've hit a good shot. And then I guarantee you, I know I have, you've all had times you felt great, felt good over the ball, and you hit an absolute shitty shot, right? Like, so
one time,
but that was the one time you were wrong.
Pearl,
you know, this shrink that I talked to, we joke with him, but he always says, like, yo, and I always thought it was very interesting, is like, so how you feel
really doesn't, it doesn't mean you can't hit a good shot just because you're nervous or you think you're going to bat. And just because you feel good doesn't mean you're going to hit a good one, right? And I think that some of getting over those things is realizing that you can still hit a good shot or you can still perform and hit something decent with that. And that was a great question. You surprised? That was good. Anything else?
I got one thing.
Hold on. He's got some, we got one in the back too. So.
Well, I was just to add on that real quick. It's, I would say it's okay to punt. Like, it's okay to play safe too. And then secondly, that's why, like, when you're nervous, that's why I believe in, like, it's one thing Tony and Connor teach, like, using your big muscles. You don't have to, like, if you're worried about chunking a shot, if you know how your big muscles are going to work, you don't have to worry about your little muscles. So it's easier to get past that because you don't have to worry about the shakiness of your hands or something like that.
And we're going to go to that question in just one second, but we got two, actually. But also real big, if you understand with your lessons with Connor, you understand what it feels like when you hit a good shot. Like, when I hit a good shot, I always feel like I'm stretched over my left leg, or I feel this in my backswing, or whatever it is. That, everybody's different. Under times of stress, if you focus more on what it feels like to hit a good shot, and you really try to make it feel that way, it takes your mind off the other stuff and you have a better shot. You have a better chance of hitting a good shot. Yes, sir.
I want to know if you could talk about grain, both on the putting green and grain in the fairway, especially growing into what you do when you encounter
grain. Yeah, so, you know, I've always said I think the most diverse chippers grow up in the South where there is grain. I've taught a bunch of kids that have come down from the North and they get in the grain in Florida or Alabama and they're just, I mean, they leave. They're just like little crying babies, you know? And I'll let Steven talk about how he hits. I think a lot of it is set up. And I think it's an art to reading the grain. And it's also an art to understanding that there's shots because of the grain and the line. The first thing a tour player does with every shot, especially short shots, is they look at the lie, and that lie tells them what shots they can play. And I think that folks sometimes always grab the same club going from their cart to the ball, and they try to hit the same shot basically every time around the green, and you get a lie into the grain or what, or it's the worst to me is into the grain, but kind of bare, where it's like almost like a little bit of mud, a little bit like it's soft. Like, that's the worst, because if you miss hit it. So the key to me, and I'll let you talk about specifics, but I think is setup. I think one of the keys with setup is to make sure that your center of your body, your sternum, and your center of mass is in front of the ball or on top of the ball so that the club hits the ball and then the turf. And then the other key for me is to make sure it's set up, and this will probably surprise some people, but that the shaft is not leaning forward, but is straight up and down in the grass with the face slightly open, because that allows the bounce of the wedge to sit against the ground. Because what kills you with grain, in my opinion, is when the face is square and the shaft is leaned forward, the wedge looks like a shovel, the leading edge is low, and it catches the grain. That's, if you don't hit it perfect, like if you hit it perfect, it's going to come out great. If you miss it at all, you're screwed. So setup to me is key, right? And then it's like every other shot. You want to turn through and finish over your lead leg. But like, to me, it's so much setup, and people are scared to do it. It feels freaky. But if you get that face open a little and you get the shaft straight up and down, and you get your center in front of the ball and you leave it there, because the low point of the swing is going to occur up underneath that. So if you get it in front of the ball, club's going to hit the ball in the turf, then you got a chance to hit. If you may miss hit a little, but you're going to get it on the green, right? And I think another thing too is just expectations. If you get a crappy lie, and you can speak to this as well, like there's times that they get lies, they're like, all right, if I hit this to 15, 20 feet, it's a decent shot. And then that, you know, people don't read the line. They think it's supposed to hit it 3 feet, and then they miss the green with it. They're surprised. There's just shots that are tough.
For the most part, like when you see shiny, that means it's down grain, and when it's darker, it's into the grain. So when it's shiny and down grain, it means more speed. So if you're landing it on the green, the ball's going to shoot because grain goes with the slope. No matter what, like you, some people have said, oh, it goes with the sun or something like that. Grain and slope don't lie. So it's, you just kind of match that. So when it's shiny, you play for it, it's going to be fast. It's into the grain, it's going to check up more or be slower putt. Now, when you're chipping, when you're down grain, it's the same thing. If you have a down grain chip, the ball, your club head's going to get through the grass a little bit easier. So it's going to create more speed. So it's going to come off your club face a little bit quicker. So you probably don't need as long as of a stroke or swing. When it's into the grain, it gets a little bit tricky, but you got to hit the ball first, because if not, you're just going to stab it into the ground and chunk it. So if you're into the grain, don't be scared to use a lower lofted club, because those higher lofted clubs don't have as much bounce. And second, the ball speed off the club head will be a little bit slower because the ball's going to roll up the face. So your club's going to get caught and the ball's going to roll up the face and it's going to come up a little bit slower. So it's going to take a little bit more speed to get through it to make sure the ball gets on the green.
Thanks for the question. I didn't follow that. You're saying if you're going into the green, you would use a lower lofted club?
Correct, because it has more bounce. So it bounces the bottom of the club. The bounce is the bottom of the club. So the more you of it, the more it will scoot across the grain. If you have no bounce, you just have the leading edge of the club and it's going to dig. There's no forgiveness. So like, I don't know if you're playing in Florida, if down in Florida on Bermuda, you tend to want to use a wedge with more bounce. So, which means it has more forgiveness. Now, if you go up north and play off the bend, you don't need bounce at all. So, if you are someone that goes back and forth, I would pay attention to what your wedges are, because you won't chunk it as much if you have more bounce when you're into the green. But you don't need that up north, on bend.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin at 16 weeks. And most of those people maintain skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILLY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
And again, this is not selling clubs, but one of the things that I do a lot is help people have the right wedges. You'd be amazed at how much better you can chip if Connor or somebody just takes some time. Sometimes you can just get a little bit easier to hit 56 or 60 and it's better. And it really does. Because what he's talking about with bounce, especially if you play mostly down here, I do think like up north off bent grass, I wouldn't say it doesn't matter, but it's just not as big a deal. Like the turf doesn't grab like it does down here. But down here it's such a huge deal. And there's a wedge. Obviously, I've been with them a long time, but there's a Cleveland wedge, the CBX. Shameless plug here. But, I mean, they are paying for this. So, but they do have a perimeter-weighted wedge with a lot of bounce that is phenomenal for recreational golfers. It's helped a lot of
people. What brand was that again?
Thank you. Cleveland Golf. CBX. Would you, hey, write that down and share that with your friend, please. You have anything to add to that? I know we had another question. feel like I'm in a White House briefing here. A follow-up.
Forget the round green. I'm further back. I'm 150 yards out in the fairway. I'm 170 or 210. And I've got a lie, tight lie, where it's in the green there. I'm not able to open the club face up there. We use more bounce because I've got a 170 yard shot. Is there anything you can advise? Because we get a lot of.
Yeah.
Where one side of the fairway is always going one way and the other side's always coming in.
So here's two keys that I would tell you to focus on. One, you have to make the key there is you have to hit the ball solid, right? If you're into the green in a fairway. You have to hit the ball first. So the same principle applies. Obviously, you're trying to hit a shot 100 or 150 yards. So you just can't lean and hit a chip shot. But you can focus on things that will help you hit it more solid. So if you keep your knees and your lower body more stable, going back and through, you're more likely to hit the ball solid because if your feet, your knees move a lot laterally, there's timing involved. It's harder to time up. It's very similar to a fairway bunker. You're almost better to hit a thin shot off of that than you are another miss, right? So I've known players that would choke down on it slightly because it's harder to hit the ground. They're almost trying to hit a thin shot. Depending on your skill level, guys will try to hit draws because it generally comes more shallow and in and out. But I would tell you, just the regular recreational golfer, is I would play the ball a hair back in your stance because you want to ensure the ball first contact. And you really want to focus on your chest right here, your center, and you want to try to get it as much over your left leg when you hit the ball as you can because that's where the club's going by. You agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, you just got to hit the ball first. And then the other thing is, that will also kill your ball speed. So, like, you might hit it a little bit shorter, but you're going to have to get a little steeper, like you said.
Yeah.
Drill Tony does sometimes. I wouldn't know if you use that, use it for that, but you can put a line, if you're on the range, put a line instead, like 2 inches behind your ball and try to hit the ball first.
Yeah. Yeah. I think anything you can do with that, I mean, will be helpful. And again, I mean, another thing too, from a club perspective, like, if you have hybrids, they're way easier into the ground because they don't dig, right? So, like, say it's between a 7-iron and a 6-hybrid or something, take the hybrid and choke it down and hit it easier. You know, those types of things. A lot can be done with club selection on that as well. Question? Yes, sir.
You talk about the bailout shot?
Bailout shot. Where?
Why do you put the bailout shot? Why is it a choice? And is it a reflex or is it intentional?
So why do they bail out when they hit shots? I mean, I think it's instinct. Again, I think it's, you know, it's focusing on an outcome rather than the process of what you're doing, right? You're not trying to, so say the water's left. So you don't want that outcome. So your brain instinctively does everything to not hit it left, right? I think the best players in the world still do it. So just because you do it doesn't mean you're bad. But I think the ones, right? Yeah, the players.
I'm wondering why they do it.
Well, why is that's why 17 in Sawgrass is so hard. There's nowhere to bail out.
Right? Is that a reflex, survival instinct? Or is it intentional?
No, it's an instinct. They're not.
Oh, it's intentional too.
That's what I'm asking. Yeah.
Well, I think it's both. I mean, I think the ones that you see players where there's no way they intended to do it. It's a reflex. And I think if they're under enormous pressure and they have hitting well or something like that, it comes. But I also think there's times, and you could talk to this, that where they just know that left or right, whatever it is awful. So they just are resigned to the fact it's okay to miss it 30 yards the other direction. It's fine, you know? And I think that one thing that could help all of you play better golf is when you look at a golf hole. So when I do practice rounds, we were joking about practice rounds today, but when I do practice rounds at majors in particular, all the player's doing the whole way around is writing where they can miss the ball around the green. It's all they care about because they feel like, where's the place to miss it that I'll be able to get it up and down? You know, at the Open last year, I was there with Andy, and I remember a couple of the holes. I was like, well, you 100% can't miss it here. There's zero chance to get it up and down. You might not even be able to make bogey. So everything was about like writing notes in his note, in his yardage book about where you could miss it, right? And I know Smiley used to do that great. Lucas Glover used to do it great. Their caddy, that was their caddy's job. But I mean, how do you approach looking at where you can miss it?
For me, I mean, if there's water, you obviously, like, if you're in the water, it's a penalty. Like, you're, like, if you're on a par three, if you hit in the water, you're not making par. You're back on the tee box or something like that. So you got to do everything you can not to hit it in the water. So what I would do is, so if the water's on the right, I'm going to aim a few yards extra to the left, and then I might try to move it left to right into the flag. But I'll somehow preset, like, if I'm moving it left to right, so for me, that's a draw. So I'm like, the ball starts where the club face is aimed. So where the club face comes at impact is where the ball's going to start. So I might preset my club face a little bit open and do everything I can not to hit it right. Like, I mean, if I accidentally leave it left, great. But if it turns out great, it's perfect too. Like, I just think it's hard for a recreational golfer, I think, to do that because, like, I'm hitting so many golf balls. I know what my misses are. I mean, occasionally it might come out, you go in the water, you make that mistake. But, like, the hardest thing in golf to do is be predictable. But in that case, you try to be predictable and you play to dispersion rates and stuff like that. But if you're not playing that much golf, you're not going to know your dispersion. So.
And I thought Connor was, you were talking about taking people on the golf course. You talked about that hole you went to when you tried to hit in the back bunker. Sometimes, like, that was a great comment. Like, sometimes just hitting a club that's going to blow it over everything over the back of it is like the easiest shot, you know? It really is. I know 16, I think it is at the Honda Classic at PGA, right? The Bear Track. And I mean, there's water on the right. There's normally wind blowing right to left, pins right. Like, so many people hit in the water, and I've had guys play some great golf there, and they just hit it, and they know it's probably going in the back bunker, and they'll make a bogey. But, like, bogey there doesn't really kill you because a third of the people are going to make five or six, right? So, like, I just think it's so situational. But, like, and that's one thing I would tell recreational golfers is, like, it's not just right or left. Sometimes, like, it's just way safer to hit something way long or way short. You just have to look at it. Any more questions? Yes, sir.
So, first of all, thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Again, earlier this year.
Awesome. Thank you. That was all you, Connor. Killed it.
Yeah, mostly. Wind. So, that's the, for me, being here the last 5 years, transitioning from up north, the wind here is like nothing you see anywhere else. And when you guess right, it's awesome. When you guess wrong, it's brutal. So how are you, especially prospects, how are you playing with crosswind?
Yeah. Well, crosswinds are the hardest, right? A lot depends on your ability. If you can, the best players in the world almost always try to curve it into the wind because it doesn't move. Right. So if you can cut it, if you can slice it or draw it, you're always trying to hit it against the wind. It takes distance off, but it makes it way more predictable. Straightens the ball out. If you can't, you just do that. Then you just have to practice like you know, but you have to play a lot for the wind. But, you know, you said a second ago about like opening the face. Well, if you're a right-handed player and you've got wind off the right, coming hard right to left, and you take extra club and you open the face a little and you make your normal swing, it's going to want to curve a little more to the right. It's going to add spin, which is good for you because it makes it go up and it'll hold it against the wind. I think what I see most amateur golfers do a lot is they try to ride the wind, especially like down here. It's the same on the East Coast. It gets so strong. Like, I mean, it just carries the ball. So you're trying to make it work against the wind the best you can. That straightens it out and softens it when it comes in. And I see players all the time, good players coming out of college that don't know how to do it. And they try to ride it. And they hit balls that they'll hit good shots, but they'll go 20 yards long or they'll go way short. Like, I mean, it's just so unpredictable, you know? So you're really always trying to, if you can, to think of a way to curve it against it. And that even goes like Andy Ogletree, who I teach, who plays on LIV. He won the U.S. Amateur, played at Georgia Tech. Great. He's one of the best on the golf course anybody I've taught. Even he thinks of slope like he thinks of wind. So like if he's pitching into a hole and there's a big right, left to right slope, he tries to draw it into the slope because it kills it and it makes it come out softer. And if it's the other way, right, big right to left slope, he likes to cut it, right? And that same principle applies to wind. But like as you practice and work on things, and these are things Connor can do, you don't have to be a scratch player. He can teach you to curve it both directions just for a shot here and there.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Yeah, agree with T, obviously. But also think, if you can learn a driver with the ball teed really low and let the ball come out low and let it run, like that's a great shot that I've had to learn this year just for my own game. And then also, if you can hit a pitching wedge in a 7-iron where you can flight the ball down a little bit lower and get it to run up to the green, like I think that's a really important underlooked shot down here. Where the wind, because sometimes, like Tony said, like if you try to hit it with the wind and let the wind help it, there's shots that are, I'll start it right on line where I wanted to, and it ends up 20 yards left of the green just because the wind is blowing 40 or what, you know? I mean, I know you, as soon as you said that, I was like, it blows so hard down here. It's crazy.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
I call it north. You shoot the shot. Yeah. Like, all right, I hit my 140 club, you know, let it land, a little up. You do that down here, you're 45 yards left and right. Like, it's like the crazy. You can't hit that ball over here.
Yeah, we think.
Go ahead. Yeah.
We think too, like when the ball is close to the green. I did a plane lesson the other night, and this lady was like 50 or 60 yards out on 10 players, and the wind was with her. She's like, "Oh no, this is normal." I was like, "It's a club less because you're going to hit it up there, and that." It's not going to have any spin, and then it's going to roll farther than it does, too, because the wind's pushing it from the back. And then the same thing on the 3 or 4 holes later, she had, like, a similar yardage. And I was like, it's actually one up from your normal club because the wind's going to hold it up there, and it's going to spin and stay. So then, like, you know, we don't think about, like, into the wind and with the wind with our wedges and shorter shots, how much it affects the ball, you know,
a lot.
On the green. So,
no, I think
crosswind hurts.
It depends.
It can, depending on the shot you're trying to hit, right? And I agree with Connor, and I think if you hit shots, like if you take more club and swing slower, it'll come out flatter, it'll be less affected by the wind. You just got to play for it. I think I see a lot of folks that are good wind players. They chip clubs, basically, we call it, right? They take 5 irons when they might normally hit a 7-iron and they get a chip and it just comes out flat, not a lot of spin, kind of tumbles through the wind, stuff like that. And that's why, though, to be honest, like wind is the most difficult condition that affects the best players because it's so unpredictable and it's very hard. So, like, that's why when they get wind at a U.S. Open or they get wind at the Open Championship, it's hard. Or that's why the Honda, they call something else now, Cognizant or whatever it is over there, that's why it's hard because it's so unpredictable and it affects the ball. And that's why also the people, the best thing that counteracts the wind is hitting solid. That's why every time there's a place, if you were a gambling person, which I'm not, I'm Italian, but if you were a gambling person and they're playing in Florida this time of year, you bet on the people that are the best ball strikers, they're always up at the top because they hit it more solid. The wind doesn't affect you. See, I even gave you a free bet. Yep. Anybody, anything else? This was awesome. Yeah, one more for your friend. One more for your friend.
So, what is the best physical exercise to prepare one's body to play golf ever?
Before a round? Like before the round?
No, I mean on a consistent basis. When you're not playing golf, you go to the gym and you do.
I'll tell you, I've done this before. Stand up. No, wait, you can't sit. You're on crutches. All right, Connor, stand up. Do stand right up here. Do a one-legged pivot drill.
You're on the table?
I don't want you to do it on the table. I don't want a table dance for you.
So back leg or front leg?
Both.
All right.
So if you did one-legged pivot drills where you stood on each leg, put your left leg in the air, and you get in your golf posture and you rotate into that leg. There you go.
Fall down. Woo, it's hard.
And if you did that, if you did that, both legs, you'd get better because you learn to you build stability in each leg.
You do have both legs, you can fly.
And you'd learn to build stability, mobility, and strength in each leg. And if you, you know, start out, if it's tough, you can put a ball.
How about something a little easier than that?
You want me just to give you flexibility and mobility? But you could put the other foot on its toe so you have something to balance on, right? But just learning to wind into each leg, because that's what the golf swing is. It's played on two posts. You wind into the trail side, you unwind into the other, and they've got to be strong enough, mobile enough, and stable enough.
Yeah, so
we don't want him on camera. There was a reason. Gang, this was fun. Hopefully everybody got something out of this. It was fun. Connor, congratulations on such a great job this year. Thank you all so much for the support. Steve, thanks so much for hanging out after your golf lesson tonight. We'll all be back next year. Hopefully we'll do this again. And our plan is to grow, have more programs, more stuff, and hang out more and have more wine with you.